Alrighty.
And another thing.
And another thing.
And I'm pointing at air. And another thing. you know, just, I want to, for those who were with us in that, you know, with the, for the Claude discussion and the after discussion, you know, one of the things that Claude assured us of is that, you know, give it 12 to 18 months from either, you know, inauguration or today, whatever, couldn't pinpoint the time, Trump will resign to avoid impeachment and removal, probably a medical excuse. You know, he mentioned frontal temporal dementia, which, you know, that's not being just bandied about by, you know, us. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV, but right, by real medical professionals. This is something that they think is wrong with him. However, the dude was riding in a golf cart because he couldn't walk 750 yards 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, you know, medical is going to be real for him, I have a feeling.
Yeah, it probably will.
Yeah, right? And I'm not wishing that on him. I'm just saying he doesn't take care of himself.
And oh, the irony of everybody pointing their finger at Hillary Clinton for not being well.
Right. Meanwhile, dude can't
even
walk
even
a
fucking construct a sentence, you know, right. And it's like, she, you know, it really sucked though. And I think it was 9/11 when she kind of fell off that curb or her ankle kind of gave out on her. That was just not good. It just didn't look good, but she had, pneumonia. And
right.
and she was wearing, like, you know, a jacket and a shirt, and she was hot, and she went out when she had pneumonia, and, you know, so she was weak. So, you know, I mean, it's like I can't even imagine, you know, somebody her age experiencing something like that. If I had pneumonia and I went out in public with layers of clothing on a warm day, I mean, duh.
Please.
But that lady is so fucking smart and sharp. She's so clear. And, you know, I just kind of want to address the fact that so many people are saying that she should shut up and go away. And it's really pissing me off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like she was a first lady. She was a senator of New York. She was secretary of state. She ran for president 2 times and 1 time made it to the general election. She can say whatever the fuck she wants.
That's right.
It's like, who gets to say that? That it just makes me so angry. You know, and I keep posting on my Facebook page, if there's, you know, like for the other day, I posted an article that she said, the next female presidential candidate is going to be brutalized or prepare to be brutalized. So I posted this and I had to specify, don't make this a Hillary bashing thread. And of course everybody did. And I think that,
how many people did you cut loose?
I don't know, many. And I argued with many, and I just deleted comments because it's like, this is not about her. This is about her telling us that, you know, women have, like it's news, but women have a hard time. But I think that that article or that message, I should say, was kind of like, I'm not going to run again, because the way she phrased it was the next woman to run. I mean, maybe it could be her, but I just don't think she will. I don't think she's going to run, because I think the next Democratic.
Oh, I don't think she's going to run either.
No, the next Democratic primary is going to be kind of like what we saw in the Republican primary. There's going to be a million different people, and the landscape is different now. You know, there's just a different landscape in America.
So, you know, last Thursday, I went to the Joyous Persistence Conference, which was a bunch of political people, Democrats. There were representatives from the ACLU. Gavin Newsom spoke. Elizabeth Warren was in conversation with Joy Reid. One of the MCs was Noni Green, who's on the board of directors at NARAL.
Mm-hmm.
It was heavy. It was a day of information and opinions, and it was pretty uplifting and incredibly moving. Elizabeth Warren and Joy were the second to the last people to appear on the stage. And one of the things that they talked about was, you know, Elizabeth said, hey, look, elections aren't every 4 years. We don't, you know, we can't just focus on the next presidential election. We have to focus on today.
Yes.
And tomorrow, and what we're doing as a unified Democratic Party. Okay. It's about us taking care of the people of this nation and having their best interests at heart and operating under the assumption that we are going to take care of each other and that we're going to stand by each other and that we're going to make this a better America.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, we are under, the threat is huge. You know, Gina McCarthy, who was the head of the EPA under Obama, she was there. They addressed everything, climate change. You know, Gavin got up and talked about misogyny. Hmm. And how alive and well it is. Yeah, I was blown away by Gavin, I got to say. But one thing that Joy asked Elizabeth Warren at the end of the conversation was, so are you going to run for president? And she goes, no, I'm running for the Senate. And that's what she said.
Yeah, you know, that's what they all say.
She can always change her mind. But yeah. What I liked about that was what she backed up her comment.
Yeah.
That we are not looking to the presidency. We're looking at today, yes, tomorrow, and the next day, right, and the next election. And the next election, we got a lot of work to do. So mm-hmm. we can count on her being in the Senate again and campaigning on behalf of the great Democrats who are running to flip districts all across this country. You know, furthering the pro-choice movement and keeping that political, because it is. And I was like, you know what? God, if this country is not ready to put a woman in the White House in 2020, I'm not going to be surprised. Because that misogyny is alive and well. Gavin told a story, you guys, about how he has 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls. He got letters from the Obama White House, you know, from their administration. He goes, Obama had no idea those letters were being sent out, and neither did Biden, and he got letters from both of them. But the first one was, congratulations on your new baby girl, Jennifer and Gavin. Welcome, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then they had a boy. Then they got a letter from the Obama White House, from Obama and Biden, and it said, congratulations on the birth of your son. Isn't it awesome to think that he can be president?
Wow.
No mention of that with the daughter. They had their 3rd kid was a daughter. They got another, congratulations on the birth of your beautiful daughter. Blah, blah, blah. They had a 4th kid. It was a son. Congratulations on the birth of your son. Isn't it amazing to think that he could be president one day? Now, if that, and
see,
this is
now
coming
that's
from
the
Gavin.
Thing.
He okay. goes, what the fuck?
Yeah, and obviously Obama's not writing it. Biden's
not
writing
it. No, Biden and Obama weren't writing them, but still.
But this is the point that, you know, the liberals think, we're not sexist. You know, it's the Republicans that are sexist. No, there's plenty of sexist liberal men who don't realize, and women who don't realize that they're sexist. And, mm-hmm. you know, Bill Maher, who got a lot of crap for what he said the other night, made a different point. In that, or was it Bill Maher? Or I can't remember if it was Bill Maher or John Oliver, but somebody made the point that that people, the most dangerous liberals, I'm not phrasing this right, the most dangerous people are the liberals who think that they're not either racist or sexist or whatever, because they're so self-righteous and they're, you know, I vote Democrat and I do, and I'm all for equality. But then they have these little tiny, tiny biases and, you know, sexist thoughts. I can give you an example. Like, for instance, there might be a man, let's just go with a man, because women can be just as guilty of this. But a man who votes Democrat, who will say women deserve fair pay, who say women should have all the, you know, the right to get free birth control, all of that, that mm-hmm. abortion should be available to everybody. That's their kind of like public, I don't know, the way they feel, not publicly like they're announcing it, but that's how they'll vote. That's how they see themselves. But then privately, in a relationship, whether it's a daughter or a wife or a significant other, sometimes little things that they'll say, and I mean, I've experienced this firsthand, little things they'll do or say will be controlling. Granted, couples will do this, or people in relationships will do this to each other, and it doesn't always mean sexism. So I'm not saying we should always jump to thinking that every little thing is sexist. But, you know, I've had experiences with men who I've known who have been very controlling, or told me things that, like, their life, literally, I had some guy tell me his life was more important than mine. because he was a manager of a rock band and I worked at a department store. And, you know, so I've just, you know, seen examples of liberals who are just as guilty, and we have to be open to that. Don't just automatically say, oh no, it's not me. Because I've realized that when it's come to rape, like I heard somebody make a point about rape and saying, you know, it's not funny. Rape is not funny. And every single time you make this joke about the, you know, the dropping the soap in the shower in prison, that's a rape joke. And it's not funny. And I never really looked at it that way. I just went along with it for all those years, not thinking about it. But then as soon as I thought about it, I was like, oh, that's a valid point. Yeah. So it's like, I just want people to be able to ask themselves genuinely, have I done this before? Because it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means that society is, you know, there's certain norms and things that we accept in society, and eventually that will evolve. But, you know, we're all guilty sometimes of not really realizing that we can be secretly sexist. We just don't get it. So I just, you know, it's not that I want to point fingers and make people feel bad about themselves. It's just take a look, you know, ask yourself, am I being a sexist? And sometimes, or a racist, sometimes it comes out of selfish behavior because you want something, and it's a form of intimidation or manipulation. And, you know, if somebody's going to do that, they're going to do that.
And the other thing is, you know, we've all gone along with that dropping the soap joke before.
Yeah.
And, but we're not going to go along with it anymore.
Right.
And to be able to recognize that and to be able to, you know, own it, so to speak, without sounding, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's true. We need to, if we've made racist comments in our past, whether we realize it or not, or we've gone along with rape jokes, or tasteless comments that, you know, objectify or marginalize someone that maybe is, has less than we do, then if we can turn around and recognize that, good. Mm-hmm. And let's move forward in that direction. I think we have a lot of work to do, liberals and conservatives, where misogyny and equality are concerned. And, you know, that's my big thing. I'd like to see a qualified Democrat become our next president.
Yeah.
Whether they have a penis or a vagina, I'm going to vote for the best one. And that's all good with me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care. You know, I mean, if Gavin Newsom runs, I would love him. I would love to vote for him. And, you know, somebody who I really like, and I don't know if he's ever going to run for president, or if I think he might be eyeing that prize, is, of course, now I'm forgetting his name.
Cory Booker?
No, not Cory Booker. He's the guy who just became a senator in Mayo, Chris Van Hollen. He spoke at our at the We Are Women rally in 2014 for the Equal Rights Amendment. He came out in the rain, and he was wearing a suit, and I remember falling in love with him first back when the government shutdown was happening, and he was calling out the Republicans for changing the rules right at the last minute. And he was so awesome at it because he's like this blonde, fairly soft-spoken kind of pit bull, you know, who just won't stop. And there is a great, if anybody out there is interested in watching it, just go to YouTube and write, you know, type in Chris Van Hollen, I guess, government shutdown. And you can watch him do it. It's like a couple of minutes. And the guy is amazing. He's prepared. He's, you know, he doesn't get ruffled. He's really calm, and he's polite, but he doesn't let up. And, you know, I was so impressed with him from seeing that. And then when he came and spoke at our rally, I wrote up an article about why I wanted him to run for president. And I, you know, I did some research on him and his voting record and everything. I mean, obviously I don't know if he has skeletons in his closet. I don't know if, I mean, he's got a pretty solid record. He's, you know, he's full on liberal Democrat. And, you know, again, if he decides to run, then I guess he's going to be vetted, and we'll find out if anything happened. But I, from what I know of him, I think he's a great, great, great guy. And I think what's specifically great about him is what they said about Bill Clinton, in that Bill Clinton was a good old boy, but he was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. He spoke that language that was comfortable. You know, it was comfortable to conservatives. Not that they liked him, because he got a lot of shit, but it was just the image. And Chris Van Hollen is not a good old boy, but he is, you know, kind of that soft-spoken, genteel man who is also strong. And so I think that the United States has a favorable opinion of men like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, Obama was one of them.
Yeah.
You know who has that sort of that same personality, huh, for lack of a better word, is Sally Yates.
Yes.
Calm, cool, collected, strong.
I love her, and I would love to see something like that happen.
She's my girl crush. Yeah. She's like trumped all of them.
Yeah.
She's my lady. You know, I'd love to see someone like Sally Yates come to the forefront and get, you know, start a real political career. Yeah.
Me too. God, that would be just like, that would be practically orgasmic to have her become the president of the United States after this Yahoo, and then whoever else might replace him.
That's,
you know, if we get like President Robot Pence.
Ugh. Can you imagine how hard we're going to have to fight for our rights?
That's why the resistance cannot. I mean, at least with Trump in office, nothing's getting done. You know, everything is all about this scandal.
Right.
But Pence gets in, whole new ballgame. You know, they're going to be rushing through. They're going to be finding success where Trump was experiencing only failure. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that resistance needs to continue. And then the Democrats have to get their shit together. When it comes to midterm elections, we have to sell our values. I think that Democrats have to be really strong in selling our values. I think we have relied too much in recent elections on just pointing at Republicans and saying, oh my God, look how horrible they are, because that's not working for us now. You know, we have to build a very strong case why people should vote for Democrats, why people who live in the Rust Belt will benefit from Democratic legislation. The economy is always better under Democrats. We need to sell that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, it's like, yes, we need to sell all the other stuff as far as equality and reproductive rights. But most importantly, the thing that people care about more than anything is money in their pockets, money in their bank, and healthcare. So we need, and we've got it. We've got the goods. So we need to just find, you know, I mean, if I were in the Democratic Party, if I were in the DNC, I don't know, there should be some kind of new office set up that includes, you know, somebody from marketing, somebody who understands language, and, you know, somebody who understands what the Democratic values are, meld them all together and start a new campaign that just is endless. It's three, you know, it's just 24/7. We've always got stuff coming out, whether it's online, whether it's TV commercials, get out the vote efforts, using humor, because, you know, it doesn't take much to understand what people respond to. If you're an expert and you're studied in that field, you understand what words, you know, I mean, freaking Newt Gingrich came up with a list of words. Frank Luntz has come up with phrases and words that work very well for the Republicans when they want to slam Democrats. So we need to be able to not only do that to them, taking the high road. We don't have to be dirty about it. Just tell the truth. But we also have to push ourselves up. And Democrats aren't very good at that. So we have to start doing that.
Right. And, you know, this last campaign in this current administration uses dirty.
Yeah.
And that's what resonates with the base. It's turning, you know, and I think one of the words we're going to get to use soon is corruption and collusion. And this is what, you know, these are truths. And you know, tides are turning, man. This is a very exciting time for those of us that oppose Trump.
Yes.
I'm digging it. I got a front row seat. I had so much fun today, you
Me
guys.
Too.
And it just feels so good to be able to help, spread the word, you know?
Yeah.
Claude's good word.
Share your, what's your, I'm gonna blog the main show, but for and I will include your information. But for our listeners Please. Here, what is your Twitter handle?
Oh, I love you so at Lady Brain Show.
Okay, and I'm at Author Kimberly and Kimberly L E Y. So today was really cool. And I'm really glad that we had the opportunity to talk to him. And I'm glad you had the opportunity to go and last Thursday and meet with us.
Yeah, it was a blast. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to furthering this, staying with this mission and doing it with you guys is just an absolute blast. Thank you so much.
All right. See you next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.